Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome, friends. I'm Rita Halk-Lane, your host for the next hour. And thank you for joining me as we venture deeper into our relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're a new listener, welcome, welcome. I hope you'll listen for a little while and that you'll receive something in your heart that helps you in your seeking of spiritual truth. And if you're a regular listener, I want to thank you for that and your support and your prayers. We really need those prayers, and we need the financial support. We've been on the air for almost 50 years. I haven't, I'm a little over a year I've been on, and I'm getting used to it finally, and I'm really glad to be here. I feel very privileged to have been chosen by Kathleen and by the Lord to do this. So please pray for me and pray for those the other broadcasters, that we may hear his voice and address the needs of our audience every time we're on. It's a big responsibility, but we're grateful that we have this opportunity. Really grateful. I want to open with a glory be, which is what Catholics pray on a regular basis, especially the daily one. It's all glory. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. And then there's a prayer in, I can't remember which day it was, but in the daily prayers of the church, the liturgy of the hours, and it goes like this. I thought it was beautiful for today. Almighty God, our Father, source of everlasting light, send forth your truth into our hearts and pour over us the brightness of your light. Amen. 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 I know that everyone's talking about it, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I want to congratulate our Philadelphia Eagles on their win at the Super Bowl. To say that we were excited is an understatement, and we are very happy and thrilled to congratulate them. They worked very hard all the whole season, and especially yesterday. It was, because there was a big span or difference in scoring, it was still a lot of work to win that game, and we're very proud of them. And looking forward to their parade. Philadelphia is a sports town, and I'm telling you, it's going to be something. And so, also, but I do want to say something about some of the things that I saw yesterday weren't even commercials. They were messages, such as the one that Brad Pitt did before the game. I wish that one had been during the game. And then there was the He Gets Us commercial, or a message about Jesus. They always do these messages during big games, and I think it's wonderful because they reach a big audience. But Brad Pitt's, the message that he was hired to do was all about unity and coming together and working on making the world a better place together, instead of fighting and disagreeing and separating from each other. And in that, it also talked about how sports brings people together, professional sports, well, all sports, but sports, professional sports in particular, bring people together in a way that very few other things do. When you're watching the Super Bowl with your friends, you're not caught up in political stuff or worried about a lot of other things. You're really in the present moment and in union with each other. Even if you prefer different teams, you're still in that moment and you're focusing on that. And that's a good thing for people. It is a good thing. So I'm grateful for football. I'm grateful for professional sports. That gives us some relief from the things that we worry about on a regular basis, or that we're concerned about on a regular basis. It's nice to have that, and I'm grateful for that. I wanted to start because my show is... the Latin name for it is Duke in Altum, which is means go out into the deep. And it's a quote from Jesus. And the reason I named it that is because I love the story that was in the gospel readings yesterday at Mass. But I wanted to also point out, there, you know, in the Magnificat book that you can get, and it's got the Sunday, it's got the daily Mass readings in it, it's got prayers in it. It's really a lovely resource. And also, I think it's called Daily Bread. It'll come to me. There's another one that's really good too that a lot of people use. But it says here as an introduction to yesterday's Mass, it says, how often our own doubts or negative attitudes cause us to miss the power of Christ in our lives. Mindful of this, Christ commands, put out into the deep. In faithful obedience to Jesus, our nets become full with the effects of God's love and care for us. And extraordinary grace. And I have found in my life that life with Jesus is far, far better than life without him. And that's what that gospel is all about. But I wanted to back up a little bit. The first reading was from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he had a vision of the Lord on his throne and his robes in, you know, all through the temple. And it was so magnificent that he says, woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When he was in the presence of the Lord, his sinfulness, with the beauty of the Lord, his sinfulness became very, very real to him. And he realized how sinful he was. And so he basically repented. He confessed that in the beginning of, during this vision that he had. And yet, the Lord blessed him, healed him of that sin, and he went on to become one of the, if not the greatest prophet in Old Testament scriptures. He is certainly the one who really was given the gift of understanding the suffering that the Messiah, who was to come a long time after that, was going to have to suffer, and the significance of that. So he, this sinful man who thought that he couldn't possibly do anything great for God, in fact was sad and upset that he had given in to that sin, never imagined that the Lord would use him for that. So remember that. You think that you're too sinful or your past is too tainted. You know, remember the Lord uses the little ones. He uses the imperfect ones. As St. Paul said, he used me, who is very imperfect, full of sin, who repented. But he used me to be so that people would know it wasn't me that he that was doing these fine things. It had to be the Lord doing them in me. And so, and it just so happens that the next reading was from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And he's encouraging the people of Corinth to believe in Jesus, because he shared that with them, and what has been revealed is true. And so, but he says here, he's talking about Jesus, the resurrection, and how Jesus appeared to all these different people, and he goes through all of that. But in the end, he says, after that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one born abnormally, he appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am now. So if you know the story of St. Paul, he was very learned in the Jewish faith. He learned from the best teacher, the best rabbi, most highly respected. He loved his faith. He defended it against pagans and Romans. And when the Christian church came along, he did not understand that Jesus was the Messiah. So he persecuted the Christians. He brought them to the Roman Empire. He went out and about, brought them into Rome, and had many of them put to death. So once he had an encounter with Jesus Christ and realized what he had done, this is why he says, I'm the least of the apostles, because I was so evil when I thought I was good. You know, and so again, if you think that the Lord can't use you or forgive you, please, please, he can and he will if you go to him. If you tell him your sins, whether they're great or small, the Lord God will forgive them all if you will turn from them. And then we have the story of the multiplication of the fish, and that it says, while the crowd, this is from the Gospel of St. Luke, glory to you, Lord, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who became Simon Peter later, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And if I just want to stop there a second, because if you might not be aware of why he would do that, get in a boat, push offshore, and then teach. Well, calm waters magnify sound. So it's like using a microphone for him to have been on the boat and been offshore. The sound would be magnified and more the crowd could hear him, as opposed to standing on loud land, which absorbs the sound. So that's why he did that. And so after he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Simon said in reply, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, he liked what Jesus had taught. It touched his heart. And the word master is another name for a teacher or a rabbi. And he liked what he heard. And so he says, at your command, I will lower the nets again. He is an experienced fisherman. He knows how to fish. He knows when it's time to give up and when it's time to keep fishing. So he knew that they had worked in all the right places, done all the right things, and caught nothing. So they gave up, they washed their nets, they're ready to leave. So Jesus tells them, hey, you know, lower your nets again. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." They brought their boats to shore, and they left everything and followed him. It doesn't mean that they left being fishermen, because later on they would go out and fish occasionally, but they were following Jesus most of the time. But basically, here we go again. Another man that the Lord ended up using profoundly in the future was Simon Peter, of course, and he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In the presence of the Lord, we realize that that we need work, you know, and he did, just like St. Paul did, and just like Isaiah did. But the Lord uses those of us who turn from our sin, who realize that we, you know, he has the answers. So don't be afraid to turn from whatever your past has been, whatever may be a perpetual sin today. Go to confession. Confess it to the Lord. Confess it to the priest and get the grace to, you know, hopefully be able to turn away from it finally and be in close union with the Lord. But I wanted to share that because, you know, that those three stories, like many, many others in Scripture, show how profoundly our lives can be changed and renewed and transformed in a good way, in a way that we're filled with joy, even in the tough times, because Jesus is there with us. We say yes to Jesus, and he comes. And just like the miracle of the fishes, and in other miracles that he did, he is there with us. He makes life so much better, so much better. This is not a fantasy. This is not a psychological thing. Although he does heal our minds, our bodies, our souls, or is at least present with us in that, it is a real presence. And the more you say yes to him, the more he proves that he is real and he is alive in our lives. And that's part of what I talked about last week. I wanted to I want to encourage you, if you missed last week, my show last week, please go on the Facebook page for In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Go to the Facebook page and scroll down until you see the name of my show, Duke and Altum, Put Out Into the Deep, and hosted by Rita Halkleen, and listen to it. And if you aren't on Facebook and you're listening on the radio, you can go to our website, In His Sign. I'll look it up during the break and give it to you. And click up in the right-hand corner are some little lines, and click on that and choose content, and then choose the podcasts. And then scroll down to February, I think it was 3rd, last Monday's, my Monday's broadcast last Monday, February 3rd, I think it was, and listen to it. It is not for everyone, but it deals with the lukewarmness of Christians today. People who think that they've got their ticket to heaven and that, you know, everything is fine, but they're missing a couple of things, and they're lukewarm. And even if you're not lukewarm, it's good to listen to that. It was something that was tormenting me for months. And finally, I got enough signs that it was time for me to share that with you. So I did. And what it was about was the scriptures where Jesus says, "Depart from me, I do not know you," to believers who had spent time with him, cast out demons in his name, did mighty deeds in his name. But yet, he said, "Depart from me, I do not know you." And that's something that we need to be aware of. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but in Matthew 15, the Lord, and it's also in the Old Testament. I'm a lector at Mass, and I have read this many times. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their hearts are far from me." And that what he's doing is he's speaking of believers who will not let him into their hearts. And they don't have a personal relationship with him. They don't seek his face. They don't seek to know him or to do the things that would cause our hearts to be opened and to learn and fill our hearts with him. So, there's people who live their life on the their life with Jesus on the surface. There's no depth there. They go to church sometimes. Sometimes they don't, and they serve him in one way or another, just like these believers, but their hearts are far from him. That's who the Lord laid on my heart that needed to hear that. And I think it's good for all of us to hear it, because I think the world has affected all of us over the last few years in a way that's not good for us. So I encourage you to listen to that. I'm going to spend some time on that subject over the next few weeks. Pope Francis has said that, a lot of our Christian hearts have grown cold or hard-hearted. The hard-hearted person is a person who just rejects the truth, who they think they know what they're talking about. They think they know how to live life. And they sometimes reject the Lord. Other times they believe in him, but they reject the teachings that he has given to us in Scripture and through the church. And so that hard-heartedness is a very serious thing. But Pope Francis just did a new encyclical on the cold-heartedness. Cold-hearted is different from hard-hearted. Cold-hearted is a loss of compassion, a loss of love, a loss of the ability to understand others and to enter into communion with those that may disagree with us on certain things, may even hate us, but with the love of Christ, we can be warm-hearted towards them. He said, I will break your hearts of stone and give you hearts of flesh. And he didn't mean, worldly hearts, soft and loving hearts in union with him, because that's quite the way he is. Okay? Truth is truth, but we have to have that softness. Okay? So, we'll be looking at that in the, a little bit, not a lot, in the next few weeks, because it's important for us to follow him as believers, to learn of him. For he is meek and humble of heart. He says, "Learn of me." Meek and humble does not mean weak. It's the exact opposite as a Christian, a Catholic Christian. He was so strong in his faith. so strong in the truth that he became meek in front of people in order to be able to reach them. He didn't show his strength a lot of times by cutting off their heads, so to speak, of being cruel or in-your-face truth. He became soft and gentle with them while teaching them the truth, because the truth is essential. But it has to be given in a way that is appealing to others. And they may not like it, but if it's given with love and it is truthful, then at least doesn't drive them away with hatred or nastiness. You know, and so, learn of me, I am meek and humble of heart. He's humble before God the Father. And we all need to be that. That's just basically listening. Listening and doing what the Lord wants us to do. All right? So, basically, he did give us some... He did say a couple of things that I shared last week, and I'll share them with you because after the break, I'm up against a hard break in a minute. And I promised you last week that I was going to share with you something really profound that Jesus revealed to Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And she wrote it down and shared it with her sisters and with the world eventually. And it's called the I Thirst Poem, but it's not really a poem. It is a locution that the Lord gave to her to share with the world. And I'm going to give you an understanding of how that came about and how it's based on two instances in the Gospels where the Samaritan woman meets the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, you know, he's physically thirsty, and she knows that. It's the middle of the day. It's hot. And he says, please give me a drink. Okay. He reveals thirst to her at that time. And then on the cross, one of the last things he says is, I thirst. So I want to expand that for you and help you to understand what the saints have thought about that, what the church teaches about that, and how we need to know about that. Jesus' thirst. I'll be back in a little bit. Don't go away. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rita Halclane, your host for the next half hour. We were in the last half hour, we were talking about the Eagles win. go birds, and about lukewarmness, you know, and the show that I, the things I shared with you last Monday, a week ago. And I did find the website is inhissign.com, all one word, inhissign.com. And you click on, in the upper right-hand corner, on the little bars up there, click on Contents, and then when that next screen pops up, click on Podcasts and go down to February 3rd, my show, Duke in Altum, and that's where it is online, or you can go to In His Sign Catholic Network Facebook page and scroll down until you get to February 3rd, my show, Duke in Altum. And thank you for sticking out in with me, hanging out with me. Right now, what I last week I promised you that I was going to share about the love of Jesus Christ for you. And the reason that I wanted to share this particular thing is because Mother Teresa, excuse me, taught me, you know, through her writings and teachings about Jesus' thirst. And it, like I said before the break, he expresses his thirst to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he expresses his thirst on the cross, I thirst. And there's more to it than physical thirst, although that is part of what those stories tell us. But basically, I'm going to use this little article, The Thirst of Jesus, written by Nada Maze. And, you know, just because I wasn't feeling well today and my mind's not working quite right, so I wanted to share with you the background of it with Mother Teresa. But it was just, not just her. There's other saints that throughout the ages have understood, and the church has understood, that yes, he was suffering from physical thirst, but he's thirsting for your soul, my soul. And she says in this article, the last words a person says before dying are cherished by those who care for him or her. They are always remembered and reflected upon because they reveal what the individual considered to be truly important. You know, you're not going to talk about something that's not important when you're on your deathbed and you know that you're leaving this life. You're going to share what's important. And so, some of the last words that Jesus spoke while suffering on the cross were, I thirst. And these words speak not only of his physical thirst for water, but also of his thirst for love for souls, a spiritual thirst for each one of us. These words have inspired many saints throughout the years, and that's true. I've read about them. But she shares in here, yes, he did experience extreme thirst on the cross because he had lost an enormous amount of blood. He was in excruciating pain. He hadn't eaten or drunk anything, as far as we know, since the Last Supper. And he had difficulty breathing. A person crucified cannot hold themselves up properly so the lungs can expand, so you suffocate. And so he was suffering terribly. And the scripture says in the Gospel of John, after this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. Okay. Pope St. John Paul II spoke of Jesus' cry of thirst on the cross and how it showed him sharing our sufferings. Papa John Paul said, Jesus expressed his solidarity or unity with all those living or dying, healthy or sick, great or small, who are in need and ask at least for a cup of water. Remember, you know, he said in Matthew, if anybody offers even just a cup of water to someone, it's a great blessing, and it's as if it was to him. For us, it's good to think that any help given to one who is dying is given to Jesus crucified. So it goes on to say, a spiritual thirst for love, an element which is essential for life. His thirst was for his Father, but for us also. And then he promises the woman at the well, after he says, give me a drink, he promises her a different type of water in return. He promises her living water, God's life-giving spirit, which will quench her thirst for all eternity. Okay. And this water that Jesus promised her and promises us is the gift of God's love to those whose hearts are open to receive it. St. Augustine says Jesus approaches each of us with his thirst for us so that we might thirst for him. Then St. Thérèse of Lisieux also had an experience when she was 16 years old. Oh, 14, looking at a picture of our Lord on the cross. She says she was struck by the blood flowing from one of the divine hands. The cry of Jesus on the cross sounded continually in my heart, I thirst, I thirst. These words ignited within me an unknown and very living fire. I wanted to give my beloved to drink, and I felt myself consumed with a thirst for souls. See, even St. Thérèse, the little flower, understood he was thirsting for her soul and for all of our souls. And then St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, her whole life and mission was centered on satisfying this desire of Jesus' thirst. On a train ride to Darjeeling for a retreat in 1946, she had an overwhelming experience that changed her life completely. She came to understand that his thirst was not really for water so much as for souls. And her religious order, the Missionaries of Charity that I work with, said, our aim is to quench this infinite thirst of a God-made man for souls. And so it opened her eyes so she could see Jesus' suffering, his unity with humanity, Jesus' suffering within all the people that she served. And, you know, Jesus did say to St. Paul when he had his vision of him and knocked him down and said, you know, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, Jesus was already ascended into heaven. And Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting the believers at that time. And Jesus took it personally. So when we serve others, we are serving him because we're all made in the image and likeness of Christ. So Mother Teresa saw that cry of thirst, not only in her soul spiritually for Jesus, but also for the world, the people in the world made in the image of him. So she served him. All right, now I'm going to, I've got about 20 minutes, and it's probably going to take part of that anyway, if not all of that, to read this. It's a fairly long letter. It's a letter from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She heard these beautiful and powerful words from Jesus spoken to her. Now, I'm going to ask you to, I have given this to a copy of this. You can go online and Google or search for I Thirst Poem of Mother Teresa, or I Thirst for You and Mother Teresa, and it should come up in a variety of forms. And I searched for the PDF for it, and I printed it out, and I have shared it with many, many people over the years, and a lot of them have come to me and told me how much it meant to them. And in Mother Teresa's, every single chapel in her convents all or throughout the world, and in her homes for the dying, places where they serve the sick, the dying, orphan children, etc., etc., they all have chapels. And in every single one, beside the crucifix, they have a crucifix in there with Jesus, you know, suffering on the cross, because we Catholics believe we have Jesus on the cross because it shows the great love that he had to motivate him to give so much of himself and to die for us. When we look at him on the cross, we know he's not dead anymore. We know he's in heaven. But we see the great love and suffering he made for us. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. Yet while we were yet sinners, he died for us on the cross. So by every single crucifix in all of the chapels around the world of the Missionaries of Charity, there's a sign that says, "I thirst," to remind us that he's thirsting for our soul. And so here, I'm going to read this to you. I ask you to, just quiet yourself as best you can. You might be in the car, but turn the radio up, whatever it takes, and listen to this message to you from Jesus Christ through Mother Teresa. Okay? "I thirst for you. It is true. I stand at the door of your heart day and night. Even when you are not listening, even when you doubt it, that it could be me, I am there, waiting for even the smallest signal of your response, even the smallest suggestion of an invitation that will permit me to enter." See, he respects our free will. He waits. And it says, "I'm waiting for even the smallest signal of your response to my love, even the smallest suggestion of an invitation that will permit me to enter. I want you to know that each time you invite me, I do come always without fail. Silent and invisible I come, yet with a power and a love most infinite, bringing the many gifts of my spirit. I come with my mercy, with my desire to forgive and heal you, with a love for you that goes beyond your comprehension. A love in such detail, so grand, like the love I have received from my Father." And he quotes what he said in the Gospel of St. John, "I have loved all of you as the Father has loved me." All of you, folks. I'm stopping for a second. He loves each and every one of you. Each and every one. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you're doing now, he loves you. But he asks you to ask him to come into your heart and let him love you into being who he created you to be. "I come longing to console you and give you strength, to lift you up and bind all your wounds. I bring you my light to dispel your darkness and all your doubts. I come with my power that allows me to carry you with my grace, to touch your heart and transform your life. I come with my peace to calm your soul. I know you like the palm of my hand. I know everything about you. Even the hairs of your head I have counted. Nothing in your life is unimportant to me. I have followed you through the years and I have always loved you, even when you have strayed. I know every one of your problems. I know your needs and your worries, and yes, I know all your sins. But I tell you again that I love you. Not for what you have or what you have ceased to do. I love you for you, for the beauty and the dignity my Father gave you by creating you in his own image. It is a dignity you have often forgotten, a beauty you have tarnished by sin. But I love you as you are, and I have shed my blood to rescue you. If you only ask me with faith, my grace will touch all that needs changing in your life. I will give you the strength to free yourself from sin and from all its destructive power. I know what's in your heart. I know your loneliness and all your wounds, the rejections, the judgments, the humiliations. I carried it all before you, and I carried it all for you so you could share my strength and my victory. I know above all your need for love, how much you are thirsting for love and tenderness. Yet how many times have you desired to satisfy your thirst in vain, seeking that love with selfishness, trying to fill the void within you with passing pleasures, with even greater emptiness of sin. Do you thirst for love? Come to me, all you who thirst. I will satisfy you and fill you. Do you thirst to be loved? I love you more than you can imagine, to the point of dying on a cross for you. I thirst for you. Yes, that's the only way to even begin to describe my love for you. I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and to be loved by you. So precious are you to me that I thirst for you. Come to me and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace even in your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless you and live my life in you, and that I accept you no matter what you have done. I thirst for you. If you feel of little value before the eyes of the world, it doesn't matter. There is no one that interests me more in the whole world than you. I thirst for you. Open up to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life. I will prove to you how important you are for my heart. Don't you realize that my Father already has a perfect plan to transform your life beginning from this moment? Trust in me. Ask me every day to enter and take charge of your life, and I will. I promise you before my Father in heaven that I will work miracles in your life. Why would I do this? Because I thirst for you. All I ask of you is that you entrust yourself to me completely. I will do all the rest. From this moment now, I behold the place my Father has prepared for you in my kingdom. Remember that you are a pilgrim in this life, traveling back home to be with the Father. Sin can never satisfy you or bring the peace you seek. All that you have sought outside of me has only left you more empty. So don't tie yourself to the things of this world. Above all, do not run from me when you fall. Come to me without delay, because when you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. I'm going to say that again. Come to me without delay, because when you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. There is nothing I cannot forgive and heal. So come now and unburden your soul. No matter how far you have strayed without a destination, no matter how often you have forgotten me, no matter how many crosses you bear in this life, I want you to always remember one thing that will never, ever change. I thirst for you just as you are. You don't need to change to believe in my love, for it will be your confidence in that love that will make you change. You forget me, and yet I'm seeking you every moment of the day, standing before the doors of your heart and calling. Do you find this difficult to believe? If so, look at the cross. Look at my heart that was pierced for you. Have you not understood my cross? Then listen again to the words I spoke there, for they tell you clearly why I endured all this for you. I thirst. Yes, I thirst for you. As the rest of the psalm I was praying says of me, I waited uselessly for compassion. I waited for someone to console me, and I did not find it. That was from Psalm 69. All your life I have been desiring your love. All your life. I've never ceased searching for your love and longing to be loved by you in return. You have tried many things in your goal to be happy in your life goal to be happy. Why not try opening up for me your heart right now more than you ever have before? Why not try opening up for me your heart right now more than you ever have before? When you finally open the doors of your heart and you finally come close enough, you will then hear me say again and again, not in mere human words, but in spirit, no matter what you have done, I love you for your own sake. Come to me with your misery and your sins, with your problems and needs, and with all your desire to be loved. I stand at the door of your heart and call. Open to me, for I thirst for you. Jesus is God. Therefore, his love and his thirst are infinite, or another word for that is eternal. His love and his thirst is eternal. He, the creator of the universe, asked for the love of his creatures. He has thirst for our love. These words, I thirst, do they echo in our souls? I'm going to read that last paragraph again. Jesus is God, therefore his love and his thirst are infinite. They never end. He, the creator of the universe, asks for the love of his creatures. He has thirst for our love. These words, I thirst, do they echo in our soul? So, Lord, that's the end of that. It again, if you just tuned in or just heard part of it, that is from a letter that Mother Teresa wrote down from a locution she had from Jesus, where he shared with her the meaning of his words on the cross and with the Samaritan woman about, I thirst. Yes, he was physically thirsty, but he's thirsting for us, now and forever. He wants none to perish. He loves everyone, even his enemies, even our enemies. He loves everyone. He wants none to perish, but we must choose the path we walk on. We must choose him instead of ourselves sometimes, you know, when we want to be our own God and do our own thing, regardless of if it hurts other people or if it's against the laws of the Lord. He loves us so much we can't even imagine. And he has a plan for us for good. He says it many times in Scripture. I have a plan for you, not for evil, but for good. An abundant life, Jesus said. Abundant. And with him, life is abundant. I can't even explain to you. Words cannot even express what he has, what he gives when we just say yes. Yes, Lord, I'm tired of what the world offers. I've tried all the pleasures. I've tried all the sins. I've rejected you in the past. I've made fun of people who believe in you. I've turned my own way. Or I've been a lukewarm Christian even. I have rejected some of your teachings. I've because they've been too tough for me. Well, part of the reason they're too tough for us is because when we're not living close to him and in a state of grace, so to speak, as Catholic Church calls it, where we've confessed our sins and we have received forgiveness from him and have that grace to keep going, that's, you know, part of the weapons that we have that help slay the evil one's influence on us, who helps open our eyes to see. When we draw close to him, he draws close to us, and all of a sudden we start to see things we didn't see before. How to solve problems. How serious sin wounds us. It wounds the world. You know, so many things. And it's a good thing, because when we can see it and we can address it with the grace he gives us, when we said, hey, Lord, please come. I need you. I need your healing. I need your advice. I want to be loved by you. I want to love you back. There's no love in this world that can compare to the love of God who created you and willed you into life, who has a plan for you, who wants to give you an abundant and profound life. Now, I'm not saying that, and neither does he. He says, in this world, in this life, you will have troubles. You will have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. When we cling to him, even in our troubles, he's there and he makes crooked paths straight. He brings good out of evil. He ministers to us in the midst of those trials. He heals us, renews us, brings us back to life in the midst of all of that horror. And he makes the good things even better, and the bad things, he heals those things and renews us through those things. He teaches us in those challenging times. So anyway, if you want to find that online, search for the I Thirst letter from Mother Teresa, and it will come up, and you'll find various modes of it online. And I really, really encourage you to seek it out and save it or print it out so that you can read it. In fact, until you believe it, read it every day. Ponder it. Say, I'm here, Lord. I come to do your will. I'm here, Lord. I really, really want to know you. Trust me. He will reveal himself to you. He will come and be with you. There's nothing like it. Nothing in the world like it. It's so wonderful. So I have to go. Thank you for being with me. I'll be praying for you with all of my heart. And I ask you to pray for me and for everyone involved in this radio and network apostolate. God bless you richly until we see each other again, until we're together again next Monday. Bye-bye. Take care.